Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Feel super, baby!
The
five-time Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami, where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six!
Let's start filling up that other hand.
That was the call on the Niners Radio Network, courtesy of KNBR in San Francisco. The 49ers opened up a can, and they whooped that Packer butt yesterday. They were raced out to a 27-0 lead over Green Bay, and I thought that San Francisco was going to win comfortably. I did not see 27-0 out of the gate. Yeah, because, I mean, we said this on Friday, chalk, right? And chalk was a 7.5-point favorite at home. And that's I thought they were going to win comfortably. And that'd be it. Over a touchdown is what I thought it'd be.
So that's okay. All right. I didn't know what comfortably means in the NFL. Until that sucker says double zero, I guess I would look at it as is that this was clearly one of the games when you started from the very first snap, you could clearly see that San Francisco was far superior. From top to bottom. Coaching, preparation, passion, speed, everything. Everything. From the start, from the very first snap. You could just see it. The energy in Aaron Rodgers just went, oh God. You know, I can't bring this team out. I don't want to say that there was quit in his eyes, but it certainly didn't look like there was any fight.
No, it didn't. And that's kind of what we've become accustomed to. When things go wrong for Aaron Rodgers, they go really wrong. And he's a bad body language guy, but his talent is immense. And I think that's what people keep going back to with Aaron Rodgers is how damn good he is and skilled he is. But when he gets behind and is it at a mismatch like this, you know it's over. And that Mostert, my God, what a game he had. He goes for 220 yards and four touchdowns. And there's no answer that Aaron Rodgers or the Packers defense had for that.
No, he couldn't do it. That's a heck of a... I don't know very many guys in the playoffs that can run for 220 like that.
Well,
I've never seen it.
No player in NFL history has had over 220 yards and four touchdowns.
What's the closest? I think it was Eric Dickerson in the 86 playoffs.
He went in the divisional round. Eric Dickerson went for 248, but he did not have the four touchdowns.
Oh, okay. All
right. So, I mean, it's the 220 and four touchdowns that puts him in rarefied air. 248 is the playoff record, but he sets a franchise record. And think of that. Franchise record for most rushing yards in the San Francisco 49ers franchise.
I want to read you this stat line, and just try to blank out the fact that who won and who didn't. Okay, Jimmy Garoppolo, 6-for-8, 77 yards, 0 touchdowns. Okay, then I'm going to read you this stat line. Just pretend, pay no attention to who won this game or anything else.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, 31-for-39, 326, 2 touchdowns. If you just read that in today's modern day, if you look back on this news clipping and nobody handed you the win or loss record, if you just looked at that, what would you think the real score is in football in today's, in the year 2020? What would you have thought immediately when you read that stat line?
Oh, it's flipped. The score is flipped.
That's exactly why analytics and manalytics and all these other, and what do you want to do? The metrics that you use mean nothing. The most demoralizing thing in football is when you can beat another man face to face by running it right down their throat and controlling a game. You can't, that's never going to change in football. That will always be that way. And that's why San Francisco is the most complete football team right now. They are the most complete football team. Will we get a chance to prove if Kansas City can do that? But as we sit, you can't win football games in the playoffs throwing 8 times. Who does that? That's incredible to me.
Well, Kyle Shanahan, he was at, and I loved his response. He was asked, you know, running the ball 42 versus only 8 dropbacks, why go that route? He said, because it's working.
Why reinvent the wheel?
You know,
we ran too much. We better stop doing it.
And that is exactly what I love about Kyle Shanahan's offense is that he'll just, if you're going to allow him to do something, he'll just take it from you all game long.
Yeah, don't outthink the room.
Absolutely not. And he's got guys, you know, Deebo Samuel is one of those guys. He kind of had the DK Metcalf end of the regular season, into the playoffs. That light bulb has flashed on for him. Because how many ways was he able to impact the game without being a receiver, like a traditional receiver and catching the football? You know, he had the block that sprung Mostert on one of his touchdowns. He had a big catch on a third down. I think he had two catches on third downs. And he's just one of those guys where it's like he's finding ways to impact the game without getting the ball in his hands, which it's that DK Metcalf like.
I'm
talking about light bulb turning on. You're no longer a rookie anymore.
Yeah, Debo's a stud. He's a stud. He reminds me of when Anquan Boldin was with the 49ers, but obviously a lot faster. Anquan wasn't as explosive, but big and powerful. Mm-hmm. Not just a possession receiver, but you're not going to tackle him with one guy. You're going to need multiple. Debo's got speed. All those guys, they have speed. They have game changers. That's what they do. But I think this is always going to be about how well that this team was coached. It was coached so well. I mean, the game plan was coached well. Watching John Lynch parade and walk up and down that sideline as just a proud pop of what he helped build, and just the connection that he had with Kyle Shanahan, the vision that they wanted to bring, the amount of investment they put on defense, the amount of money that they've invested in it, the smart way of developing and drafting talent and seeing it come together. I mean, how do you go from four wins? You went from four wins to then now in the Super Bowl is one of the best teams in the NFL. That just shows you that leadership and intelligence is way beyond just saying that you can do it. Baker Mayfield and the rest of this crew have saying that we got these guys and we have talent and we have all that. You need to have a little bit of humbleness with coaching. And I remember watching Kyle Shanahan be a Browns offensive coordinator. Those of you forget that with Mike Pettine. I mean, just the way these guys have the experience they've been through with Robert Saleh and watching him and seeing his energy and what they've coached. I mean, it's pretty cool to see.
You know, ESPN did a pretty good write up on that kind of bit, the culture building that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have done together. And it's about embracing the past because Shanahan was a ball boy in the 90s for when his dad was the offensive coordinator. And so it's like he remembered the history and kind of embraced the history and then seeing it all come together. Like this article talks about, I got your back, which is what was said to Jerry Rice after he called out like Deion Sanders or something in a meeting. And, you know, people said, I got your back. And they told it to Steve Young when he took over for Joe Montana. They came up to him and were like, hey, I got your back. And that is kind of like you see that coming to fruition, this embracing the past and the history where Jerry Rice is wearing a big old chain dancing in the stands. Yeah. And then you have guys that are in the buy-in, like Witherspoon is a great example. He gets benched and he goes to the coaches and says, what can I do on special teams? What can I do to help us on special teams? And he goes down the field and has that tackle inside the 10. Like Shanahan and Lynch have built a culture that is winning in San Francisco.
Yeah, and they've done something pretty cool about it. And I'm not going to Debbie Downer this. I want to say that this is a high point for what San Francisco's building right now. The NFL is not built to have dynasties when it comes to high-priced dynasties and talent not wanting theirs. Eventually, this is going to – because it happens at every organization. Even at the Patriots are finding ways, big-time guys are get to go. But right now, the way the NFL builds and the way you look at it is that – Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get a chance to be a very high-priced quarterback to win a Super Bowl with never been to one before. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Patrick Mahomes will probably be the next $40 million to $45 million quarterback. That will be a Brinks truck rolled out to him. But both of them have great coaches. But we're going to see this. We're going to see how the NFL, and it starts to change now too as we move forward with the next collective bargaining agreement of how can you sustain football with the kind of personalities and lower price developing talent, because you can get kind of lost in that. You can get kind of lost as I go, you can start smelling your own brand a little bit too much. And I'm not saying that's what San Francisco's doing, but they found a way to draft well. This reminds me of the Seahawks in the 2013-14 season when they drafted so well in late rounds and got such great complementary players. And there was a connection there that we've seen this. We've seen it happen. Both these two teams are set up for multi-year dynasties. And I hope we get it. If you're talking about great football, fine. Give me it. Because both their coaching staffs are likable. Their quarterbacks are extremely well. They play well on television. like body language, attitude, leadership, good looking guys, all that stuff plays well. It's great TV.
Yeah, and you know, it's good, as you're pointing out here, the new CBA is going to be a big one. There was actually momentum towards it where they're going to try and get a bigger chunk of that pie coming up. And if they can get that bigger piece of the pie for the players, we may see both these teams have longer sustained runs, as you're talking about here. The San Francisco 49ers did it on the ground, though. And this is something that we've got to touch on. Mostert, in what he's been able to do, his path to the San Francisco 49ers, and my goodness, the guys that he's running behind. We continue talking about the NFC Championship game next. This is Dustin Cam on The Fan. All right, Raheem Mostert is a guy that he's really stormed onto the scene over the last handful of weeks for the San Francisco 49ers. He's finally found a place to stick. In listening to him talk on the podium after scampering for 220 yards and four touchdowns was a pretty cool moment after the NFC Championship.
I did have a lot of doubters and naysayers, and you know, now I get to actually tell them, hey, look where I'm at now. You know, I never gave up on my dream. I never gave up on the opportunities when it presented itself. And, you know, I always worked hard no matter what. And, it's crazy that I've been on seven different teams. I actually still have, you know, the cut dates. And I look at that every before every game. I look at the cut dates when I got cut.
According to USA Today, if Tevin Coleman's injury keeps him out of the Super Bowl, it will be Mostert's first NFL start of his career.
Do we know what was it was a diagnosis of an elbow. When I saw it go down, I thought it was his wrist, but immediately I thought it was a hyperextended elbow, but they haven't released what that injury is of Coleman.
They said shoulder on the broadcast last night.
I'll look into it, but I did see something this morning that said they're hopeful he could return for the Super Bowl.
It looked like a hyperextended because the way he put his hand down, and I've had that injury. It hurts. So, but that will hurt a little bit. Having just, it's been a three-headed monster all year. Their ability to kind of let all these guys, and they're all, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say they're no-namers, but it's a committee. That's kind of how they run the football. They run by committee. They have guys make plays, and whoever is the hot hand, that's kind of what Kyle Shanahan is. Says we're going to have the guys out there that are playing well. And if they're hot, they're going to stay with it. And just continue to do it.
And they each have their own set of skills too. Like, you know, you have Tevin Coleman, who's more of your burner, and although Mostert didn't look like it because he looked like he was shot out of a cannon on a lot of his runs.
Pound it guy.
But he's more of the tempo type back that they use there. And, you know, he kind of waits for that seam and boom, he goes on it. But 220 yards and four touchdowns, he's saying, I told you so, to a lot of teams. He keeps the six teams that cut him up in his locker. And they are the Eagles, Dolphins, Ravens, Browns, Jets, and Bears before he finally found a home in San Francisco.
Yeah, whatever works. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still uses that stupid late draft pick chip.
Well, and you heard them say on the broadcast that the 49ers almost cut him because of fumbling issues. And then Kyle Shanahan said, listen, I think this guy's a good football player. Told him that. I think you're a good football player. Just got to hang on to the rock. Gave him a couple more chances, and he put it all together. The amazing thing, too, have you seen what he did in college, Mostert?
Well, he played at Purdue, so he probably didn't get a lot of carries.
Almost nothing. Career yardage in college, 759 yards.
Mm-hmm. You're kidding me.
He got 29% of that yesterday alone in the NFL.
It's always about not just belief, but someone getting a chance to play in their talent levels. You know, coaches can recognize certain things about guys, but when you get a shot, that's what you want to see. I mean, everybody gets a shot when they get to the NFL. You get a chance. You get a chance to do it in practice, and he had a shot yesterday, and it was pretty impressive. And I don't know if it's going to get him a big contract. I don't know if that's enough to sit there and tell you, but it might get him a Super Bowl ring.
Well, in part of this emergence that he's having coincides with the fact that this offensive line is finally healthy, and my God, are they a bunch of maulers up front. When you look at McGlinchey, Staley, and company, those guys are incredible, and they're without their starting center to start the season still.
So this game, to me, this isn't just about San Francisco and what the Chiefs is. I think that we're going to see, and in 2 weeks of anticipation, we have a lot of storylines and talking points regarding this game. You mentioned the offensive line. We see what they're able to do and run.
Whew.
I think the way the NFL is shaped and the way football has been shaped has been told that we need the ball to be more exciting and throw it. wasn't exciting. If you're outside the box, if you were just turning on football for the very first time, that wasn't what we would call typical offense by what San Francisco did, by only throwing the ball 8 times. Yes, I did not make a mistake. They only threw it 8. This is a chance for football to do something. We're going to see is that everyone will tell you is that throwing the ball super efficient down the field, hyper exciting Patrick Mahomes is the future. But what's always worked is running the football. What's always worked is controlling the line of scrimmage. It's always, always, always held up over time. I don't know what the future will tell you about how we continue to move forward with it, but Kyle Shanahan and this group and 49ers have the ability to buck a trend that everyone is telling us will continue, is that throw, 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 maneuver, flash down the field, speed, speed, speed. I don't think you can, I don't think you can really make speed. I think you're either born with it or you're not. I mean, you're not, Tyreek Hill was just, he was gifted with unbelievable speed. Some of these guys they have, Watkins are gifted with unbelievable speed. You can make an identity of being tough at the line of scrimmage. That's what San Francisco's done.
And that is a scary thing to go up against, especially if you're Kansas City and you're trying to game plan for it, because of the fact that, look, they have that ability to run the football and do it so effectively. They have run the ball 89 times for 471 yards in 2 playoff games this year.
I would rather, if I was defensive coordinator, I'd rather face the Chiefs' offense than Kansas or than San Francisco's offense.
But right now, they've done that without having to put anything on film of George Kittle, Emmanuel Sanders, Deebo Samuel, Kendrick Bourne and company in their wide receiving core. Like, they don't really have to show much of their passing game in the playoffs. They haven't, because you threw the ball 8 stinking times late yesterday.
Yeah, they don't have to do it, but if you're game planning, you know they can do it. I mean, we watched, they scored.
Well, absolutely.
They scored 48 points versus the Saints and had to do it in overtime with throwing the ball all over the yard.
Absolutely.
I mean, if they have to do it, they can do it. That's the scary part, is I don't know if Kansas City can get in a boxing match with them. I don't know if they can get on the inside and start throwing body blows. I can't, because they haven't really done that very often. Now, can they just throw it? Can they haymaker you to death? Oh, yes, they can. They can suck the energy right out of you. And they can do a sustaining drive. It's not going to be a super physical kind of drive, but it'll be a mentally demoralizing. Like, man, these guys continue to catch the ball. They're going to continue to do it. But I mentioned this on Friday. I said, take the variables out of the game. Variables are throwing the football. Snap, hold, catch, reading the defense, making the adjustment, throwing the ball down the field, scrambling outside. There's a lot of variables to be a hyper-successful passing game. You have to have one of the biggest variables, which is Patrick Mahomes. He is a cheat code. That's what he is. He's a built-in cheat code.
Mm-hmm.
So what San Francisco does is they remove the variables and make it very simple and say, we're going to beat you at the front, and we're going to make this, and they're going to line up right in front of you. Go ahead and stop it, but then we can adjust and change to a different kind of attack. So that's what makes this matchup so flipping intriguing to me, is like it's something I haven't seen this in a long time. I haven't seen this kind of matchup in a long time.
Yeah, and that is exactly, we talked about this earlier, and this is what I was the point I was getting to. You just backed it up far more eloquently, is that they go back how many games? You say 2 games. You go back in the playoffs at this point, and you look at the last 2 games. In the last 2 games, it's what, 27 pass attempts that you're looking at. That's all you got on film. And they've not been forced to let George Kittle loose. They have not been forced to send Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders down the field. It has been frightening how good they've been able to run the football and just say, no, we don't have to do anything.
Ask yourself, as a fan and someone that watched these 2 games this weekend, I'm a huge proponent of having one thing, if you're going to coach or if you're going to teach or if you're going to do anything at any level, from youth level all the way up through sports, you have to have. Number one, have to. You. Who are you? Who? I need to know that within the first 30 seconds of a game, or the first time you talk, or the first time you run a practice. Who the heck are you?
Ooh, we almost had the dump button.
No, I wasn't going to do that. who is Kansas City? If I just threw this out there and just said, who is Kansas City?
Patrick Mahomes.
It is Patrick Mahomes. It is what he does. He is electric. And again, I'm going to use it. Cheat code. So talented, happy, go lucky, arm speed, ability. Identity is Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs. It is. It's everything about it. Throw the ball down the field, electric throws, over the top, speed, create. It's something that's fun to watch. It is like the greatest show on turf was back in the day. That's exactly what it is. Now let's flip it over to the other team on the other coast here. Well, Kansas City's in the middle of America. What is San Francisco? What is their identity immediately? Do you see it? Can you feel it into your core? When you start to watch them play football, do you know what they are?
That is the thing, is that no, because they're a chameleon offensively.
You don't think you know the identity?
Well, they're a chameleon offensively because of the fact that they will run the ball down your throat, but if you just load up, they'll take that away from you too, won't they?
So for what I watch and what I see is that if you want to use it, you might have just used what your version of who they are,
yeah,
is chameleon. Is that can you immediately tell me that when you watch a San Francisco 49ers game that you know exactly what they're going to
absolutely
do?
Absolutely not.
Are they predictable?
No.
That's kind of like a chameleon. You can hide. You can absolutely change. Yeah. You can adjust.
Yeah.
That's what I call the ultimate team. If I can't define it, if I can't say, no, they're a run first team. Oh, no, wait. No, they're a pass team. No, they're a play action team. No, they play great defense. No, that I go, this is an ultimate we. And so that's what I call their identity, the ultimate we. Because there isn't a significant one person other than George Kittle, my man crush, that I love to death. There isn't somebody that I go, that's this guy. They can't win without this guy. They could do it with this guy. They could do it with Jimmy G. It's that. It's that. It's everything that they do, from kicking game to Robbie Gould, who's as good as it gets, all the way through from the offensive line, defensive line, secondary. Even Richard Sherman has turned into kind of a wee guy, which is hard to do. So that's why this matchup is so intriguing.
They found a way to get it done. And Jimmy Garoppolo deserves a ton of credit for it because they were a 4-win team when he got hurt. What was their record when he got hurt last year? Was it week 4, Buck? Weren't they 3-1?
He hadn't lost yet.
He
hadn't lost when he got hurt.
No, I think he had
lost.
Well, they lost the game he got hurt, right? Isn't that right?
He ended up losing that one, but I think it was only the third week or fourth week.
So I think it was undefeated. Week 4, and I think they were 2-1.
In the preseason, but then he lost one of his first games of the year. I think they lost to Minnesota, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know. But that guy, he got him like half their wins or whatever it was last year. And he's not being asked to do a lot, but my God, has he been good for them, because look where they were with Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard last year. And in the first quarter, did your heart sink a little bit when Kenny Clark went low on Jimmy G and you saw his leg fold over?
No, because the first I noticed of it was Jimmy G like up and walking it off and looking like he was okay. And then they showed the replay that didn't look great. But the fact that he wasn't laying down, writhing around in pain, I was like, it was scary. But
if you only throw the ball 8 times, does Jimmy G really matter? Well, of course he does. Because no, he brings a confidence to that huddle.
Right.
There's a swag. There's a leadership ability because, you know, feels great, baby.
Feels great, baby.
Feels great, baby.
Mm-hmm. And also, how about this? We talked about the Andy Reid connection here, where he's only the 7th coach in NFL history to guide 2 different teams to a Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan is 1 win from joining his dad, Mike, as the only coaches to be father-son to win Lombardi trophies. And no, there's only one other combo of father-son that have won a playoff game.
As head coaches.
So Garoppolo was 1-1 last season when he got hurt against Kansas City. He had just taken his first loss ever against the Lions in the previous week.
Oh, boy. How did that happen?
I don't know. I do not know. But the only other father-son duo to win a playoff game. Can you name them?
Father-son to win as head coaches,
correct? As head coaches in the National Football League. You want a little time to think about it? If you know it, text us.
I'm not going to look at the text line.
55305.
Second.
Coming up next, too, we got more statements. Statement Monday, what did you learn from the weekend in football? Got a lot of good texts coming in. We'll get to those after Buck with SportsCenter. All right, Kyle Shanahan and his father, Mike, join one other duo as the only father-son combo to win a playoff game in the National Football League. Mr. Cleland?
So my first guess, my first thought was like, oh, gosh, got to be the Mora family, because Jim Mora Jr., I know, did it. He didn't beat me when I played for the Rams. But so I was like, wait, his father, playoffs?
He was one
his
and
dad
one.
Was a heck of a coach for the Saints and then playoffs. Certainly for Indianapolis. But he did not win one as the – or did he? He went to the playoffs but didn't win. So then I went, oh,
He was 0-6, by the way.
0-6 in the playoffs.
Father Jim.
And I went, playoffs? Gosh. I'm like, come on. This is easy as it gets. The Ryan family. Buddy Ryan and Rex Ryan. But that also could be wrong because Buddy Ryan was never ahead. He didn't win one at Philly, and he did not win one at Arizona.
He was 0-3 all-time in the playoffs, Buddy Ryan was.
Yeah, so who does that leave?
Well, are you going to guess? Or
who does it leave? Those are my two guesses.
Okay. It is not the Shulas either. Mike Shula did not win a playoff game. It is not the Harbaughs, as Anthony says, because, well, Jack Harbaugh never
coached
in the NFL. No. It is Wade and Bum Phillips. Mm,
that was good. That was going to be my last guess.
Yep.
I should have just thrown that because I forgot that Bum. I don't have enough memory of Bum as the Oilers coach. But he was coaching before that, not just the Oilers.
Yeah, Bum. Two. And Wade, the only father and son outside of Mike and Kyle Shula, or Shanahan, to win a playoff game. So in the NFL, and they obviously then could become the first to win a Super Bowl because Wade Phillips never won a Super Bowl. I don't think.
Well, he won one as a
as a head coach. As a head coach, he never won a Super Bowl. So boom, there you go. That's a little history for you on the NFL playoffs. Oh, I have more history too. This goes back to, remember our conversation we had last Thursday about the colors?
You want me to remember that far back?
Yeah.
I can't remember that.
The color schemes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course I do.
This is the first ever Super Bowl where the primary color of both teams is red.
But two different reds. We have a scarlet red and we have a, what we call fire engine red? What would we call the Chiefs red? Because everything needs a secondary name. It's Nike's fault.
Red. Red? Is that what we're going with? It's red. That's the Chiefs red. That's a little
just,
nugget.
Yeah, I think it's just red. It's like candy apple red. Red. It's a firehouse red.
Niners are trying to petition the NFL to wear their 94 throwbacks.
Not going
to
happen. They already did. At least I saw the Twitter sphere told us that the Super Bowl jerseys are already being printed. Who will wear home and away? Do we know that yet?
No. The Kansas City Chiefs get to pick.
Why do the Chiefs get to pick?
Yeah, tell me that. Why do they get to pick?
I don't know, because that's what the NFL said.
See, I thought it was that the better seed got to choose, or was supposed to be the home team, which would be the 49ers. But there was something that came out that said the Niners wanted to wear their all-white shadow font ones that they wore against 94. The Seahawks in Week 17, and that the NFL won't let them. That's what Richard Sherman said.
Yes.
So I don't know.
Yep, that's what we were just talking about.
You'd think the top seed could wear whatever they want, but we'll see.
What would you rather have, Buck? What would you want them to wear?
Actually would want them to wear the throwback shadow font red look that they wore in the Super Bowl against the Chargers. The brick red, white font with black shadow and white pants.
Mm, that'd be fun.
See, I still like the whites that they dismantled Denver in the Superdome.
Yeah.
55-10.
Yeah.
I like their whites. I love that white look with it. It looks great.
We'll see what the Chiefs what they choose. I don't know why they get Pixies. But
they do, huh?
That's what the guy who was on the tweet storm about all of this was all about, David Lombardi or whatever.
Huh.
Also, the team that wears white, they usually win the Super Bowl. So keep that in mind. I don't know why that means anything, but
I don't know either.
It's there. All right. 55305 Statement Monday coming out of the weekend. I love this one that came in earlier for us. It's like when Kyle Shanahan didn't run the ball when he was up 28-3 in the Super Bowl as the Falcons on seed lost to the Patriots, he learned to run and eat clock.
I do think he learned.
Absolutely.
I mean, you were talking about earlier to just do what works, because in that Super Bowl, what got them the lead was throwing the ball.
Yep.
And then they tried to kill the clock too early. And then when they needed a first down, they were throwing the ball and they stopped the clock. It's like they got it backwards. If they'd just been going with what was working then, they might have got out of that game.
Also, he didn't have his offense wasn't using a use check at that point, right? Like, I mean, think of what a luxury having that fullback is.
Well, they had a fullback still. They had Coleman, if I remember correctly.
Tevin Coleman?
No.
He was on Atlanta then. But
they still had a fullback. He's always had a fullback.
They didn't use him, and they didn't have a use check. But now they have the three tight ends too, including Levine Tuilolo, the Stanford product that that Shanahan brought over, who was in Atlanta and is now there. When they go in that three tight end look, my gosh, he's just not afraid to just pound the ball down your throat. And having Kittle, Tuilolo, and Juszczyk are huge.
Yeah,
assets,
the three tight end
man.
Thing, that's not revolutionary anymore. You can't hide behind that because that's what Baltimore
nobody's
ran.
Hiding behind it.
That's what Baltimore ran. That's what made Tennessee so really good at what they did and their play action. They understand is that the identity is going to be, hey, man, we're going to load up. We're going to bring an offensive lineman. By the way, Tennessee, fat guy touchdown.
Biggest
fat
touchdown,
guy touchdown
ever.
Heaviest touchdown ever.
Yeah.
I don't want to say fat guy touchdown, but man, fat guys, when they catch something, that's a big deal.
What is he, 6'8"?
He's 6'8"?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly joined, what's his
name?
Well,
I know
Dennis
Jim Nance was
Kelly.
Super excited for that stat to be handed to him.
6'8", 321.
That's a big man.
Yeah, Kelly joined newly elected Pro Football Hall of Famer Harold Carmichael as the tallest player with a playoff touchdown catch as well. 6'8". 6'8", 321. My God, where do they find these guys?
They just tell basketball players to eat more.
I guess.
That's what I would do.
My gosh. That is a humongous human being. One piece of leftovers from the NFC Championship game that I want to get to. Rob Lowe's hat. Who goes to an NFL game just wearing an NFL shield on his hat?
Well, so you saw why he was there, though, right?
Well, of course he was there.
Because of his TV show.
Again, exactly. Another... How many more...
That has got to be one of the dumber things they do. Like, just run like a live read or a live promo between plays or something. But this whole, hey, look, there's that star from that show. Be sure to watch it later tonight. They do it during the World Series
he
always.
He likes football like you do.
All right,
but
here's
he's
the thing.
A noted Colts fan.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that about him. So he's sitting there looking like a goon. Wearing the shield.
He broke the Peyton Manning news.
All right, I'm done. I love first responders. I love them to death.
Okay.
Okay, I was a firefighter for a while too. I'm done with the firefighter shows. And all the glorification of this, especially with Rob Lowe. How many more reboots do we need to have? How many more?
There's
How many more angles? You mean to tell me that Rob Lowe is going to sell me as a, is he a chief? What is he? Is he a truckie? What is he? Is he an EMT? What is he? What medic is he on this? What engine?
Well,
it's a done.
And Liv Tyler's the cop on the show.
Even more. I'm like, what? No, I don't think she's a cop. Is she? Or I thought she's also.
She's in a uniform. It was a blue uniform. So I just assumed police officer.
Okay. Man.
And Liv Tyler looks the same as she did in Armageddon.
Great. She's great. I feel a flop coming.
What is the name of the show even?
Well, it's 911 Lone Star or Lone Star 911.
Oh gosh!
Like that. But the reason it's out is because the other one that's based in I don't know LA or something has done really well, or Chicago perhaps. I don't know.
Have
I
you
know.
Seen what they're doing
Chicago
with
Fire,
Chicago?
And I think that's how that was the other.
They
one.
They have Chicago Fire, Chicago MD, and Chicago.
So this is
PD.
Like 3 hours of TV, all just based on first responders.
Crime in Chicago.
Gosh.
It's incredible.
I mean, more car rescues do we need to find? I know. I get it.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
It's hard to wrap your head around, that's for sure.
Is this like that one show, CSI, when they made like 18 different CSI
Absolutely.
Sidekicks and spinoffs?
Mm-hmm.
CSI Miami, CSI New York, CSI LA, CSI Kansas City.
What's the
CSI?
Navy one? What's the one that they have the Navy?
NCIS.
That's it. It's not the same thing. It's different. We rearranged your letters on you.
I can't take Rob Lowe seriously ever since it was Bill and no, I almost said Bill and Ted's
Wayne's World
when you had to do cavity search. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also in Youngblood, man, he was a tough kid in Youngblood hockey player.
He was great in Parks and Rec, but he's not a tough guy though.
No,
St. Elmo's Fire,
same
saxophone player.
Let alone. He's a firefighter
packer.
In Texas. Like if he was like Beverly Hills Fire Department, I'd buy it. I'm not buying you're a Texan, Rob Lowe. Ah, okay. Well,
Austin transplant city.
Very true.
Going with that.
No
one.
Identity,
okay.
Austin.
Good. I like it. All right. Get you set for the day on the fan. What the Blazers were up to over the weekend and your statements from Statement Weekend. In the National Football League. Dustin Kam on the fan. We got Rob Lowe related text coming in on 55305. We have a P1 rescue bro. He hates the fake firefighting shows. They probably all have beards too. Yeah, that is something that's weird when you see a bunch of beards on firefighters and TV shows. That doesn't really
It doesn't fly.
Jive with being around fire all the time. No. And you said you were a firefighter. Are they close at all?
For what?
For
No. I wasn't a part of a big crew. No, I would. We only maybe had 300 calls a year. I mean, that's, some guys do that in a week.
But are they close to, like, when you watch these firefighter shows, are they?
God, no, it's like ever over dramatized. You kidding me? Most of the time, they're just, you go over to some person's house and you're helping them get up. Like, I mean, that's just what I mean, that's kind of what you do.
I'm falling and I can't get up.
You do more medical calls of that. I mean, there's never, I mean, those are scary.
Now, I don't know this to be true because I am no doctor, but I read somewhere that Scrubs was apparently one of the most accurate doctor portrayal shows out there.
No.
The comedy?
Could be.
Like it was
George Clooney and ER. I felt like that was what the ER was.
Yeah, but a lot of people said that's not really how the ER operates. Like, it's not all like that. They said it was like Scrubs was the most relatable to an actual ER, which I found interesting. So I'd want to know from Firefighter Bro, what is the most realistic and one that you guys can relate to the most? And I guess Medical Bro, is it Scrubs?
Well, you got to be dramatized. You got to juice it up a little bit.
Yes.
It's TV.
Yeah. And then West Wing, Rob Lowe's probably his best work was the West Wing. Did you ever get into that show?
I never got into the political shows.
It was Martin Sheen as the president.
Yeah.
Rob Lowe was a speechwriter. Pretty damn good show. Really? And he was good on. Yeah, he was really good. Rob Lowe was really good on it.
I can't do shows anymore with commercials unless I record them. I can't do it.
Oh.
Got to buzz through it.
West Wing was on Netflix.
Was it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know NBC's
anymore.
Coming out with a new streaming app.
Yeah, they do.
It's called Peacock. It's coming out very soon.
And then they'll take The Office away from everyone.
They are going to take The Office away from all of us.
All right, is there one show that you would get a streaming service and pay extra just for that show? Because The Office may be it for me on NBC. Because we're through 2021, I think we have The Office on Netflix.
I actually have most of The Office on DVD before it was all available streaming.
Oh,
and
not
even
DVD
though
on.
I don't want to use it, I have a DVD player.
That's going to be great collectible when you're about $70. You can sell that
or
off.
If I don't want to pay for all the streaming services, I'll just have to use it out of necessity, like a caveman.
How inconvenient will that be? You have to get out, and then you have to find a DVD
I'll
player.
I'm saying I have one right now. It hasn't been used in about 3 years.
It ain't lasting.
Do you see that ESPN, like they showed the pictures of Clemson and LSU, or the players of LSU and Clemson pictures of things from like 20 years ago because of 2020?
Yeah. The technology stuff?
And there was a few of them that had no idea what a VCR was.
Or like dial-up internet or AOL.
Yeah, they had no idea what AOL was.
That's my favorite is to hand somebody, a young kid, a rotary phone and have them try to dial their parents. Because first of all, they're not going to know their parents' phone number. And secondly, they have no idea how to dial.
Here, call your parents. And they just look at it like it's an alien object.
What?
How many phone numbers do you know right now, like off the top of your head?
How many?
Of people that you care about. Because like, I know business phone numbers because I hear them on the radio. But I don't know. How many phone numbers?
867-5309. Does that count?
Yeah. I know my wife's. God. My mom's and my brothers, because my mom's and my brothers are one off of my phone number, and on a good day, I know what my dad's cell phone number is. Sometimes I don't.
That's a great feeling, though, when it just pops into your head. You're like, oh, yeah! I probably know six.
I can remember my friends' numbers in high school, much less closer to what my numbers are now that really matter.
100%.
Quick story. I had a buddy who was drunk and stranded during college, and he couldn't remember. And
sounds
all
like
he had
most of college.
No, he had no cell phone. All he had was a payphone. He goes to make a collect call, and the only number he can come up with is that of his high school buddy, or his like elementary school next door neighbor buddy. So he just calls this house in the middle of the night, like hammered.
This is what we got.
Hey, it's David's friend.
Yeah,
could
help.
You call David and tell him I'm here and that I need to be picked up?
It's wonderful.
He had one phone that was a payphone and he knew one number. So he just called his next door neighbors because that was the only one he could recall.
The fact is, where did he find a payphone at? That's even more impressive.
Yeah, I don't know.
He actually found a payphone somewhere.
Well, when we were in college, I was So this was like 12, 13 years ago, probably, Buck. So yeah, you could find them every so often.
Yeah, this was in like 2005.
Oh yeah, you're not finding payphones anywhere. I mean, they're occasionally there.
Where was I and I saw one?
Just at the Masters is all you can find.
Oh.
The Masters is spectacular because you can't have phones. So everybody just lines up on these payphone things and they're all just calling out because it's all free calls anyway. So you just call on people. You're like, hey, look at that. I'm on a phone. It's got a cord.
You know where I saw one?
Yeah.
Burbank Airport.
Yeah, probably. The airport's Burbank Airport still got it.
They had one.
Gotta have them.
And it had no privacy. It was right in the middle of the thing. And I saw it and I was like, well, that is a thing, huh? The Burbank Airport had one. I was blown away. It's been so long. Like when you see one, they're a novelty now. Totally.
If you did not have a phone, you needed to make a call. Would you ask someone to borrow their phone, or would you go try to find like a corded phone somewhere? Like a random person in the middle of the street. Hey, I'm really sorry. I got to make a phone call. Can I borrow your phone?
Yeah, I would.
Is that
do
against
that.
The rules?
No, I would do that. If it's an emergency,
I might try to
what
pop
if it's
into
not
like
an
a
emergency?
Business, though, like I might try to go to like a 7-Eleven. Hey, can I use your phone really quick?
Yeah.
I don't know.
To use the actual landline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
But your first thought is not to borrow someone walking down the street's phone.
It depends where I am and what they look
you
like.
Just held up a quarter and said, can I borrow your phone?
What they look like.
Yeah, does it look like someone who's going to be willing to give me their phone or like someone's going to tell me to F off?
Yeah, if there's an old lady, I'll definitely.
Would you give
them
your phone?
That's what I'm saying. I will judge the book by the cover what I'm going to ask to use their phone.
Would you share your phone?
Yeah, definitely.
Anybody?
I would. Yeah.
I mean, as long as
you wouldn't side eye a little bit.
If they say like they just need it to call their significant other, their kid, their mom, whatever.
How do we know who
sure,
it is?
No problem.
How do we know?
I mean, I guess they could just run off with it, but that seems unlikely. I don't know.
I feel confident.
I mean, most people could be holding $1,000 in their hand. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah. You know, there's a guy who would always, I knew that, hey, he drove like a clunker car. And he said, if somebody steals this thing, he needs it more than I do. I kind of feel that way about my phone. You know, it's like, what are you really going to steal this thing? I don't have the newest phone. I'm like eight iPhones behind.
Eight? Are you really?
Nah, I got a six.
Oh, that's not eight. That's not too far behind.
I got a six, so I'm what,
six,
five?
Seven, eight, nine, ten. Nine,
from the text line, I saw a guy at Fred Meyer talking on the payphone while texting.
Multitasking.
Bold move,
Calvin. Nowadays.
Is it immediate that I sit there and I think, that guy's a drug dealer?
No, that's, boy,
because
you're putting
he's
people
on the
in a box
phone.
Now, I see.
He's on the payphone and his phone. That just reminds me of, like, back in the day, the guy
traced.
Who was on his pager and the payphone.
He didn't want to be traced.
That's right.
Untraceable call.
That's right. I'm going with it. All right. Chiefs. Niners, Super Bowl 54.
We need a bunch of things to talk about for the next 2 weeks.
I'm already writing them down.
Good. You're going to have to come up with some ideas.
All right. Well, I've got one that we can get into tomorrow. Do you know how many players have played for both teams?
Can we just put the show on repeat? Can we just do that tomorrow?
Actually, okay, so Wednesday. Good. Let's bump it out to Wednesday.
All right.
Bump it out to Wednesday.
See you guys Friday.
All right. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd. 9 to noon, noon to 3 is Dirt and Sprague. 3 to 7, primetime. Isaac and Suk. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.